This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Looking to get onto the road to wellness? Start your journey with the Good Day Health Podcast. Go to gooddayhealthshow.com and press play. Or you can find the Good Day Health Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The hour on the DJV show. That stands for Doug, Jen, and Victoria. Doug Steffen, Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, and today marks the last trip for the body of Ruth Bader Ginsburg to go to the Supreme Court. And even in death, she is breaking all sorts of glass ceilings. Victoria, we talked about this earlier in the week. She'll be the first woman to lie in repose to lie in state at the Capitol. Rosa Parks was given that honor, but because she wasn't a public official, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the first woman who will lie in state at the Capitol on Friday. Today, she will return to the Supreme Court for the final time. Her body will lie in repose there following a private ceremony for her family, her close friends, and members of the court. And then the public can pay their respects from 11 a.m. today until 10 p.m. tonight, and then again tomorrow all day, so people can go through and pay tribute to the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's a little different with COVID-19 because usually you'd expect more pomp and circumstance around something like this. It's so significant. But because of COVID, I think they're going to be doing the social distancing. You can walk through. But as far as a very public funeral service, like we would typically see, I think that's a little bit, it's pared down, certainly.
Mm-hmm. So what about her religion? The Jewish religion has people buried within 24 hours after they've died. Exception here, or was she not that religious, or how was that dealt with? I was just curious.
She constantly talked about her faith and being Jewish, so I don't think that that's at play, but certainly maybe these are extenuating circumstances when you have someone who lived a public life.
Okay. I don't disagree. I'm just wondering how it was dealt with.
I'm sure this was all planned out,
family.
Too, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure she would have known this would be the process, so... Maybe, I don't know, is there like a workaround that a rabbi can give? Maybe, I don't know.
All right.
Special dispensation.
The debates are next, the first presidential debate next Tuesday, and it's taking place where? I thought, I was trying to think, are they just doing it in Washington? Where are they doing it?
You know what? I'll find out. I know that it was supposed to be one of them was going to be in Cleveland, but they moved it around. There's going to be no audience. So I don't know if it really even matters so much the location because it's not like you're bringing in a swing state crowd. But we do know about the first one that Fox News anchor Chris Wallace will be the moderator. It's a single moderator, which I so prefer. I cannot stand when they have four people cycling
through.
What
will he be looking for? What do you think his angle will be?
I think Chris Wallace is pretty fair. I mean, as far as journalists go, I think he asks tough questions to everybody. Mm-hmm. But he released a list of topics that he's going to cover. The Supreme Court, COVID-19, economic policy, racism, and the integrity of the election. So those are the five broad topics.
What's the most important one?
Not starting out slow.
Yeah, I know, right? I think, well, for me, I think it's economic policy. I think that drives a country. That's where our strength comes from.
Right.
And it's
the economy's stupid. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then the rest of them. What about you, Victoria? What do you think would be the most important question? You agree with Jen?
Sure. Economic policies are important. I think the Supreme Court right now is a hot button issue. And I think that, a lot of people, especially on my side of the aisle, a lot of people are very concerned about who Trump's pick will be. So I think it'll be interesting to hear what the questions are. And obviously Trump's not going to say who he's picking, but it'll be interesting to see.
We'll already know
maybe,
by that point, actually.
But isn't he meeting with this Barbara Lagoa in Florida this week?
Yeah,
before,
and he'll make his announcement on Saturday. The debate will be on Tuesday, so we'll already know who his nominee is by the time the debate takes place. It'll be interesting to see if they press Biden on why he didn't come forward with a name or names to talk about. He's been really largely silent on this, and people even on his own side of the aisle are saying, this is one of those, again, this is not coming from the perspective that I vote for Trump. This is just, it's interesting to watch the strategy of the Biden campaign. They've kept him, they kept him out of sight for such a long time. Now he's playing catch up to go back out and see people, but he stays silent on issues that are odd. He took the day off after RBG was announced dead on Friday. He made a comment about it, and then he took Saturday off. He spoke on Sunday, but he talked all about COVID, and he talked about President Trump's mishandling of it. He didn't mention one time Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So it's odd how they're advising him. I don't. Obviously, we'll see if it pays off.
I so wish they would talk about themselves, their plans, what they're going to do, and
I think that's what we're going
to
hear.
Hold them to it. This stuff about, yeah, and you did this, and then, yeah, like a couple of schoolyard punks. Anyway.
So just to put a cap on the conversation about the debates, there are right now scheduled three presidential debates. So the first one next Tuesday, then the 15th and the 22nd of October. Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence are going to debate on October the 7th. Early voting in most states will begin at the beginning of October. So people will not have much time with these debates if they are using them to help make a decision.
This is criminal. This should be challenged in the Supreme Court. This, all this election stuff and early voting, it should be challenged.
Do you think, Jen, like, what percentage do you think really that these debates this year, I know this is a different circumstance with this election, but what do you think the percentage is of people who might actually change their mind based on the debates?
I think if somebody falls apart, there are always game changers. And so if Trump gives an unacceptable wild answer, if Joe Biden falls apart and can't make a sentence, I mean, I think there are things that can happen that could either make people not go vote,
and that's the point of
or
this.
Change their mind. And,
and you can't take it back once you've sent something
just
in
knowing
the mail.
How crazy everything is right now, for me, it would make no sense. And it's not just presidential stuff. I'm committed to Trump. Everybody knows that. I say it again. It would have to be pretty wild because I love the country more than I love the president. It would have to be something pretty crazy that I really believed to not get me to vote for him. That being said, a lot of the down-ticket stuff, the congressional races, I mean, think about how fast this news cycle goes. And people are putting the ultimate commitment down and mailing it 6 weeks before the election day. I just don't get it.
Nope. What about masks on stage? Will the two of them?
That was interesting. Last night, President Trump was I think he was in Pittsburgh. He's been all over the place. He was rallying somewhere. And he said, I don't know what it's going to look like on that stage. Are we going to be wearing masks? Or he said, I would imagine they probably shouldn't because there are only two people on the stage and they're distant.
Yeah.
And you want people to be able to hear you.
Neither of them wore a mask on their town halls, right, recently.
I can't remember if Biden had one on or not. I listened to it, and I didn't watch it.
Biden with a mask on more than you do Trump.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
And from what I've heard, they're very scared about him getting the virus, actually.
Biden or Trump?
Biden. He's only been tested once, but I guess they're, like, freaked out. The campaign is really worried about him getting it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he's meeting, as I said, with... I can't remember her name, but it's Lagoa. Is that how you pronounce it?
Lagoa.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. All right. Chuck Schumer got heckled. What is... he's a putz. That's as far as I'm concerned. He's just a putz. So what was the occasion, Jennifer, that he happened to get heckled? Some of the stuff I can't repeat in here, what people were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
He was standing outside, and people said, well, weren't doing a blanking thing, basically.
Outside
of the Capitol.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, anyway, there's all this stuff back and forth and up and down. The big surprise is Romney saying that he was going along with the vote. I was not expecting that to happen.
I can't imagine that he... Well, I think his reasoning for it was... that it's a Republican Senate, and I don't know, it's the same thing.
Their precedent has been set. This has happened 15 times, and so
the precedent was precedents are only set by what's the most recent precedent. So
but
the precedent
not,
was
right.
Mitch McConnell saying when Obama had 300 days left that it was that
but
they were not going
about the
to
timing.
Interview anyone.
It was,
well, it
that
was. That's what they made it out to be.
No. It was because they didn't have support. It wasn't the same party and the White House being in the same party. So that's why they waited
out. I think your read was, though, Jennifer,
that's
it
such,
was
such
the,
BS.
It was
the
a block, of course. But by the way, the rules have been changed immensely. This isn't changing precedent or changing rules. If you want to talk about rule changes, the only reason we're in this situation is because Harry Reid changed the vote from a two-thirds vote to get judges confirmed to just a majority. So if anybody is upset about where we are right now, call up Harry Reid in Nevada, because he's the one
How's that bridge on the land that you own that the government bought? We're going to ask him that when we call him. The situation with fires, we haven't talked about that today. What's the update in California, Jen, with the fires?
We have them.
They're still here. Still burning.
The air seemed clear. When I was talking to my son last night, he held his camera, the phone up to the sky. Look, Dad, you can see the blue sky.
It's significant because you couldn't see blue sky for about 10 days, but you can still smell the smoke. I mean, you can see blue sky. That just means the winds are blowing things around, but it's still incredibly smoky and ashy.
So how many people have died in these? I was thinking of the numbers from the last fire, but I think there are more this year, including a firefighter or two, right?
Yeah, one firefighter in the El Dorado fire died. The Bobcat fire near me, I don't think there haven't been any deaths, but there has been some loss of property. I don't know what the number is total in the state, though, for the year.
Yeah, well, it's pretty messy, and again, nobody seems to be well. My son, who would be more likely to be left of center than right of center, was really ripping apart.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah. his wife is influencing him, I think, somewhat, to a point anyway. The idea that the state of California is going to hold on to the population, people are just, they're just, my son was talking to me last night about where he'd move to. And, you know, he's not going to do it right away. But I think that's where, especially people that age, you know, the kids that are coming along, 30s and 40s with families, they don't all live in this stuff. Well, never mind that, but the school system is, the whole state is like crumbling before our very eyes. And what a shame. Today is the first full day of fall. Yesterday, the clock ticked over, depending on where you are in the morning, but now everybody is in the fall mode, and the temperatures, for the most part, are going up, I think. Aren't you down in New Jersey going to have a warmer weekend than you did last week? It's been chilly, actually.
Yeah, it has been. Yep.
Yeah.
So today and tomorrow, and I think maybe Friday, we're in the upper 70s again. So that's good. That's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to just kind of be changing with all the tropical storms that are churning down in the Caribbean that, you know, influences what we get up here. So
yeah, a lot of that stuff. But it's by the end of the season, so this will probably be the last hurrah for all of that stuff. Speaking of the end of something, would you like to put an end to the way you look? Are you tired of looking in the mirror and seeing this overweight blob? And you think to yourself, man, I've got to do something about this. I've got to be able to lose the weight and keep it off. Well, fortunately for you, there is Calitrin. Calitrin is the number one healthy weight loss system, I suppose you could call that. It's a powder, a capsule, can be a liquid, take it either way. Same formula, same stuff. It all spells safe weight loss, the all-natural way. No drugs, no stimulants. And this is, by the way, manufactured everything in the USA. It's not, it's in a COVID-free facility. It's really pretty cool. Take these capsules at bedtime, four of them, or you can take the liquid Calitrin as well. There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So if you haven't started to see the weight dissipate, then you get your money back. But that's not going to be the case. 86% of the people that get on this program lose weight and have a success story to tell. Join that group of successful people losing weight by using Calitrin. Go to toploss.com. That's the place where you find Calitrin. Sign up for the three-month program. You get at least 5, maybe 6 months, depending on what the discount is that you choose. And then you stay on the price. I've stayed on it just for years because I like the other impact it has on my body. The discount code DJV will apply at sign out. Top loss to checkout, not sign. Hello, Doug. Checkout. Toploss.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Fall is a season that's a little in the middle. It's sort of the best of two seasons. It's no longer a sweaty summer, but the winter chill is still around the corner. And that's the perfect time to feed and seed your lawn with Scott's Turf Builder. Even better than spring. Because the soil is still warm, but the air is getting cool. So your lawn gets the most nutrients in the best combination of temperatures. Feed and seed now with Scott's Turf Builder. And build the best lawn for every season. Scott's, it's good out here.
Stock up to support your family's immune health with Ester C, a superior form of vitamin C. Ester C lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C, and it's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support. So don't just settle for regular vitamin C. Look for Ester C on the label when you shop for your family's immune health. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
She does. I've never seen her live, but she does.
Billie Eilish. In the music news here, 23 at the hour on the DJV program, launching a collection of toy figures inspired by this song, All the Good Girls Go to Hell.
All the good girls go to hell.
Jeez. All right. These toys made in partnership with Playmates. The toy company in Bravado, the line, launches the 15th of next month on her website. The Bad Guy doll stands 10.5 inches tall, features a lifelike sculpture of the singer in her yellow sweatsuit, comes in a box that transforms into a backdrop inspired by the music video. You know, I was thinking how silly this is and who would want one of these things. And then I think back to when I was a kid in the 50s. Elvis dolls were everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So in this song, All the Good Girls Go to Hell, there is a, you know, the what do we call these? Caricatures or dolls?
Whatever. Collectible figures is what they're calling them. So it's like Star Wars figures.
Bobbleheads?
No bobbleheads.
No bobbleheads.
No. But, yeah, I've seen pictures of
the action figures that come from...
Right.
Jungle Joe. What was his name? G.I. Joe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So similar to that. But you're right, though. There are a lot of pop stars throughout the years who have had dolls and things like that, and they seem to do really well. People do collect them.
Yeah. What, is there a ukulele in this? Isn't that her signature? She plays the ukulele.
She does, yep. She has a ukulele that just came out through Fender, the guitar company. So that's... that's the signature Billie Eilish ukulele. So, and that's apparently on pre-order now, and it's already sold out.
She's 18.
A lot of girls
19.
Want to play. Yeah, she just turned 18. A lot of girls, especially girls, young girls, are learning to play the ukulele. And a lot of, you know, Grace Vanderwall, who won America's Got Talent a couple years ago, she famously plays a ukulele, and I think Taylor Swift does too. And so sales of ukuleles went through the roof.
Yeah. What is the, who discovered her? Really where did she make her first appearance? How do people know that? Who knew that she was what?
She put out music on YouTube and
really?
And a record company.
Created
yeah.
her own.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she and her brother Phineas, her older brother, he's 5 years older than she is, and so he's her producer and basically, you know, put all of her music together, and she was only 15 maybe at the time, 14,
yeah.
15. And
Sophie,
yeah.
my son's wife, does that. You've seen some of the stuff that she...
I love Sophie's music.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Sophie's music, yeah.
There you go. All right, so anyway, she also called out her peers recently for playing during the coronavirus pandemic. She shared a video on her Instagram story saying, funny how I haven't hugged my best friends in 6 months and you're all out here partying.
Yeah,
shot in the
a lot of YouTubers have been staging parties, which is just ridiculous and stupid.
Yeah.
But that's who she was really aiming for. But
she, all right, next
know,
up,
she's pretty responsible for her age.
Good. Avril Lavigne announcing a live stream benefit concert for the 24th of next month, helping to raise awareness and funds in the fight against Lyme disease. Full proceeds from the event, described on her site as the only chance to see her perform this year, will support the Avril Lavigne Foundation and Global Lyme Alliance. Tickets along with the merchandise bundles and VIP soundcheck passes are now on sale. She said, I'm so excited for fans and friends from all over the world to join me and my special guests for hashtag Fight Lyme, benefiting the Lyme community. It's going to be an evening to remember. So who's on the bill of fare here? Justin, who are the people? See here.
I don't
Bieber,
know who else.
Brian
she
Adams,
hasn't. She hasn't. Michael well, that Blay. Was something that she already did.
Oh, she did already. That, yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't announced who the special guests are going to be for this. But Justin Bieber recently, in January of this year, he posted that he had also been diagnosed with Lyme disease. There's a chance that maybe he'll pop in on. Yeah, that would be kind of fun for fans.
Yep. All right, it's 28 and change past the hour here on today's the Wednesday DJV program.
Stock up to support your family's immune health with Ester C, a superior form of vitamin C. Ester C lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C, and it's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support. So don't just settle for regular vitamin C. Look for Ester C on the label when you shop for your family's immune health. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
In her address to the Republican National Convention, Kimberly Klasick touched on a truth that the GOP must address if they want to remain relevant in the years to come. I'm Jeff Charles, sociopolitical correspondent with LibertyNation.com. During her speech, Kimberly Klasick, who was running for Congress in Baltimore, said that she wants to see her city become, quote, an example to Republicans around the country that we can compete in our inner cities if we reach out to the citizens and deliver real results. The Republican Party has struggled to make inroads with the black community for decades. Some have argued that this is because black Americans are conditioned by the media and the Democrats, but the reality is that the GOP has failed to make a concerted and genuine effort to reach black voters at the local, state, and federal level. Until now. Klasick has the right idea. She has been pounding the pavement and interacting with potential voters ever since she started campaigning. Regardless of the outcome, she is setting an example for the rest of the party. The question is, are the Republicans ready to start courting black votes again? Learn more.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The wife of the late Republican Senator John McCain is backing Democrat Joe Biden in November. Cindy McCain says Biden will stand up for American values, and she notes that she and Biden didn't always see eye to eye on the issues, but she says he's honest and will lead the nation with dignity. On the campaign trail, President Trump telling Pennsylvania voters November's contest is a matter of economic survival for the Keystone State. He promised support for the controversial oil and natural gas extraction extraction method, fracking in that state.
And I'll keep your jobs in Pennsylvania where they belong, and you're going to be doing fracking for a long time.
In New Hampshire, Vice President Mike Pence appeared and heard chants of fill that seat.
We're going to fill that seat.
Promising the high court vacancy will be rapidly filled by a conservative. And this is USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called Argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Intelligence officials reportedly believe that Russian President Vladimir Putin is directing an operation to intervene in the upcoming U.S. election. The Washington Post reporting the CIA has assessed that Putin and other top Russian officials are behind efforts to disparage Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Their efforts are also meant to sow public discord ahead of the November election. Intelligence officers making a similar determination about Putin's direct involvement in plans to disrupt the 2016 election. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher is issuing two executive orders ahead of any decision in the Breonna Taylor shooting case. The first order declares a state of emergency and allows Fisher to hire people to deal with possible unrest in the streets of that city, also allowing him to implement curfews and other restrictions. The second order will ban on-street parking and some parking in some downtown parking garages. Fisher says in a statement he's not sure when Attorney General Daniel Cameron will announce his decision in the case, but it's expected in the next few days. And one of the founding members of the Four Seasons is being remembered after losing a battle with coronavirus. Tommy DeVito was 92. He was behind hits like Big Girls Don't Cry and Sherry. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Shaping up to be another exciting half hour here on the DJV program. I'm Doug Steffen here with Victoria Keelan, who has the new spending plan from the Washingtonians. Spend. The new spending plan is spend, and then spend some more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is the latest attempt to avoid a partial government shutdown before the election. And this short-term
October
spending
11th,
plan,
I think they run out of money, don't they? Is that October 11th?
I thought it was even earlier than that, but yeah. Actually, no, it's September 30th. That was the deadline.
Well, October 1st, we normally would go, the fiscal year for the feds begins October 1st, but I thought they had a little extra money, but who knows? All right, so what are they doing?
So, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi detailed this new spending plan. This was passed in the lower chamber with very strong bipartisan support, which is nice to hear in 2020 because it never happens. So this was 359-57, and this bill extends government funding through December 11th. Pelosi said in a statement, "We've reached an agreement with Republicans on the stimulus bill."
Where does the money come from?
who knows? We're going to add eight, I mean, does anyone care in 2020, honestly?
Maybe not.
They're going to add $8 billion in desperately needed nutrition assistance for hungry school children and families. She also made a point of saying, which is something I took note of, she said, we also increase accountability in the Commodity Credit Corporation, which will prevent funds for farmers going to being misused and going for a big oil bailout. Yeah. So as we've been talking about it this on our show here, you know, the farmers have really gotten screwed. So that was one of the sticking points of the Democrats. So I'm happy that that happened, that it worked out. So like I said, they had until September 30th in order to prevent large portions of the government from shutting down. Looks like that will not happen now. There's also, Pelosi also said the deal includes a continued boost in food stamp spending, which, as we know, unemployment is still really, really high. And Feeding America, which is an organization that we've supported here on our show, and No Child Left Hungry, and all these different organizations are just stretched to the max right now with demand. And so Pelosi said, to help the millions of families struggling to keep food on the table during the pandemic, we've renewed the vital expiring lifeline of pandemic EBT, that's the food stamp program, for another year. And so at least, you know, families who don't have any money will at least have some support for the next year. And then the other thing that they've been working on is school children in need of food assistance so that they'll be able to continue to receive their meals. And a lot of the focus for the Democrats, and I know that everyone went back and forth on how come they don't just pass a new stimulus bill. Well, these are the holdouts that Pelosi and the Democrats were, this is what they were waiting for. So I'm happy that they were able to reach an agreement with the Republicans, because these are key issues. This is life and death for people. This isn't just a political football. Like, this is actual life and death and starvation.
So I'm reading, as you're giving us this, from this morning's Washington Post, an argument that's been put forth by some, and I'm interested in your thought about this, because you would be someone who's voting for Biden. This, the opinion piece is written by a fellow named Mark Thiessen. I don't know who he is, don't much care. What I'm interested in is the philosophy, if that's what it is, or the focus on so many people in so many states voting for one party. The fact that if Biden wins, Democrats control the House and the Senate, that makes us a one-party country, basically, even though there is the loyal opposition. But I've seen it in my state. Maybe that's why I'm reflecting on it here. I grew up as a Republican. I practiced sort of Republican philosophies all through school. I was the only youngster. I started the Young Republicans when I was in high school, and I think we had four members. I went to school in Ohio, and so I had a few more there. But the way Massachusetts runs and California runs now, and some other states as well, you see it happening. That if you, and a lot of these people are my great friends, who are such hardcore Democrats, they couldn't conceive of voting for a Republican. If there's an R next to your name, you're bad. And the same is true with Republicans. With a D next to your name, you're bad. But there are more. And I think if I lay responsibility at the feet of anybody, it is the type of person who is now identifying him or herself as a Republican in the main, not saying everybody, but in the main, that is responsible at the moment for the problem the Republicans see of us perhaps becoming a one-party country. But it has happened the other way around. The Democrats, there seems to be this pendulum that goes back and forth. And I remember that one of the points I'm bringing up to the surface here, Victoria, is I remember reading something like this maybe 30 years or so ago, when the Republicans controlled everything and the Democrats were worried about a one-party state. But I again make reference to the two states in which I live, Massachusetts and California. And the political reality in the state is anything but what I would normally think was cool. I hold with a lot of the idea. See, I don't like to anymore identify myself as a party person. I like to identify myself as someone who thinks about the issues or the matters at hand and makes my decision based on whatever I perceive the facts to be. And so, but there are many people who wouldn't consider voting for a Republican if he or she even was someone that could actually do good. And the same is true for Republicans. They couldn't perceive of voting for a Democrat, which I think is an illness that is something we're going to have to deal with, because it's becoming more evident, at least for my life, that states like Massachusetts and California are going nowhere fast. Although Massachusetts better run, there's at least a Republican governor who's done a fairly good job. Mitt Romney was a governor here as well for 8 years, and he did a fairly good job of dealing with the Democratic Senate and House. That's not the case in California. You can't get anywhere as a Republican in California unless you live in Orange County. You just can't. So, and I think that's very dangerous, very, very dangerous. So the guy brings up a good point. Not that it should change your vote, but you should be thinking about your attitude towards someone who's either a Republican or a Democrat. I think, you know, can you say, Victoria, that some of my best friends are Republicans? You probably can.
I would consider Jennifer to be one of my close friends. Sure.
Yeah, she is. Yep.
Look,
yeah,
I grew up in New Jersey, and which is, you know, a blue state, but it's very, very deep pockets of red. And so in the town that I grew up in, my parents were like the only Democrats, and everybody else there, except for one other couple that they're close with, everybody else was all Republican. So I grew up in a very sort of mixed company, and, you know, and that's kind of continued. So, I don't really see it as that big of a deal. You know, I disagree politically with people, but I still can love them. I don't know. I just feel like if you can't have a conversation with someone from the other party, then you are the problem. You're not part of the solution.
Yes.
So I just don't.
Hooray.
And unfortunately, I have a lot of Republican acquaintances who cannot have a conversation with me and are not even willing to engage, because if it's either Trump or bust. And I just don't think that, I don't understand why the entire
party. Too many hardcore thinkers on both sides, as far as I'm
concerned. And the entire party on either side should not be hinged upon one person.
You know, one of the things that I'm troubled by, if we're thinking this through, is the news media, and I say this all the time, they become a lackey for me. But here's a perfect example. In among all of this stuff that we've been talking about, does anybody know or realize that we are in the middle of making a nuclear reduction deal with the Russians? Anybody know that? Mm-hmm. The United States of America is right now, actually the Trump administration this week issued an ultimatum to the Russians. And it's very hardcore. It has to do with trade and stuff. Listen, basically they've been told, if you don't go along with this deal, a lot of the behind-the-scenes trade deals that we have are going to be kaput, which I think is good. But who knows about it? Who's been talking about it? Who even has heard of this? I didn't know it was going on. Did you, Victoria, that there was this big nuclear deal behind the scenes going on and they want to get it done before the election? Trump hasn't talked about it.
No.
I would think that would be a good campaign pitch. Frankly, here's what I've done and here's what I'm going to do. Instead of all this other nonsense, let's get to the hardcore of running the country and figuring out what we need to do. As far as I'm concerned, one of the things we should do with these bastards from Russia is put them on notice. If they mess with the election, we're going to turn the current the other way, the spigot the other way. That's another thing. But that becomes political. This is not political. The nuclear deal with Russia has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with our health and well-being, our security, whatever. But I didn't know. The point I'm making here, in part, is that I didn't know anything about it.
Is this from the Pentagon, or who's spearheading this effort?
Yeah, well, supposedly diplomats on both sides are the ones that are doing it. But, yeah, you can be sure there's a military faction involved in it one way or another. But my point is that it's going on and nobody's talking about it because we're wasting our time talking about all this other stuff. Speaking of wasting time talking about other stuff, let's talk about, we had a little word on Ellen's first day. Let's talk about Kelly Clarkson's first day back on television after this.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Have you gained the quarantine 15? Or maybe it's 20, 30, or even more by now? Well, you can get your weight back on track by using Calitrin. Just listen to what everyone is saying.
My name is Jessica. I'm from the state of Texas, and I've been taking Calitrin. I take it both for weight loss and for the health benefits. I have lost 50 pounds, and I take it every night to help me sleep, and I feel I'm better rested in the morning after I've taken it.
My name is John. I am from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I have lost 59 pounds on Calitrin.
Hi, this is Beth from Texas, and I've been using Calitrin and found that it has improved my life immeasurably. I use it for arthritis pain. The pain is gone. I am able to get up in the morning and move around without any discomfort.
Calitrin is drug-free, stimulant-free, and has a huge 86% success rate with 90 days. Check out Calitrin's big sale at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
You're listening to On Air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria.
All right, 47 after the hour, DJV program. Doug Steffen, Victoria Keelan, and Kelly Clarkson, who opened up her, you know, we talk about Ellen opening up her show with the apology.
Yeah.
So the big gorilla in the room with Kelly Clarkson is her divorce.
Yeah.
And she said, the first thing she said was, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see,
her
husband's name was Brandon Blackstock.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been pretty private about it. She says, I'm dealing with it. It's hard. My children come first. But, you know, since her days on American Idol, she's had an absolutely meteoric rise. And I like her a lot, frankly. I think she deserves all of it. She's figured it out. Maybe she didn't spend as much time, but the way I read into it, Victoria, is that they didn't really talk much about it. You know, she's pretty open about her personal life.
Yeah. It's sad because they went into quarantine together and they went to their ranch, and I think she thought that was going to be some really good time alone for the two of them, and I don't know what happened, but this divorce sort of, this announcement came out of nowhere, and it sounds like even for her, so maybe... I don't know. Maybe there's some cheating going on his side, and that's why it became a quick decision to make, even though it's hard. I don't know. But it's unfortunate because I think so many people just love Kelly. She's such a good person, and her talk show's doing really well. I'm happy for her. She's had a lot of great success.
She did a nice
job. Deserved.
But she said she used some of the time to write music while she was in quarantine on the ranch, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people who are on quarantine, not by choice, Simon Cowell broke his back, you know.
Yeah.
About 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so America's Got Talent is back without him. Who is...
Kelly filled in
for him. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Maybe for 1 week or so. And then I don't know who else has filled in for him.
Heidi Klum. Sofia Vergara is there. Howie Mandel is there.
Yeah.
And
it's Heidi Klum.
What did I say?
Klum. It's Klum. Yeah. It's Klum.
There's a guy who has a farm about 40 miles from me. He spells his name the same way and he pronounces it Klum.
Right.
So I'm just...
That's fine. I just, you know, for pop culture's sake and accuracy, it's Heidi.
And, of course, that's something that I'm very concerned about.
We don't want to sound like we don't know what we're talking about. Heidi Klum has been for years...
Speaking for yourself.
...has told everyone how to say her name.
Klum! Right?
Klum.
Klum. Klum. Klum. Klum.
Oh, my God.
Klum. Klum. 10 before the hour. This is the DJ... I can know how to pronounce this. DJV show.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
And just like the guy whose feet are
PJ Thomas,
Ben,
time's not for me. Though
raindrops keep falling on my head,
they keep falling on my head.
So I just
love this scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where Catherine, what was the actress's name, married to Sam?
Catherine Ross.
Yes. She's on the handlebars of the bicycle that they're riding around the cabin. And just there's something...
Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, it's just that the movie is so well done. The two of them are so good together. And that's played out in The Sting as well. I wish they did more movies together because it was pretty much magic. Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. They did too. It's interesting because Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid premiered on this day, Doug, September 23rd, 1969. That scene, although I was very, very young when I first saw that film, but from what I read, when you sat in the movie theater watching this movie, when that scene came on, it was sort of out of left field. It's like, where did, like, he thought, you know, she's on the handlebars, they're playing the song in Hard West. It's sort of a weird scene to be in that film. Having said that, that was a memorable song back in the day, and that was a great film. And Paul Newman and Robert Redford did do two movies together. First was Butch Cassidy in 69, second was The Sting in 1973. But the director of that film, his name was George Roy Hill, directed Newman and Cassidy and The Sting, and also he directed Newman in a movie that was very against Newman's type, but was a great film called Slapshot, a hockey comedy in 1977.
Yes. It was very against his type. You're right about that.
Yeah. I said to myself, because it was on a few weeks ago, and I was saying to myself, you know, why did Newman take this role? Because it was just different, but he was great, and it's a great film. And I looked up, and it was the director, Butch Cassidy, and The Sting probably said, hey, I got a script. I want to do this movie. Would you like to get involved? And that's how they collaborated on that one.
Isn't that what happens a lot, though, in Hollywood?
Yeah,
you find directors like George Clooney and the brothers there, the Coen brothers. You get together with
Exactly. And the best example probably would be Martin Scorsese using Robert De Niro in just about everything. And also now Leonardo DiCaprio has become his next generation go-to actor. Yeah, but if you get a talented director, you certainly want to stick with them because they're going to produce a quality product and it's going to help your career as an actor. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't that the case with the Bond? Didn't they have the same director for a number of the Bond films, the Broccoli family? I think Sean Connery liked the director, not of the first one, but the second. I'm trying to remember who that name was.
I don't remember.
Once they realized, the Broccoli family realized very quickly when they came up with, they made the deal with the author of the James Bond movie, the books, let's produce a movie or two. And as soon as that movie came out, they knew they had a winner. They had a winner in the James Bond identity. They had a winner with Sean Connery, and they went for it. And it didn't take Connery long. I mean, I think he made $80,000, if I remember correctly, for the first James Bond movie.
Wow.
And, you know, when he got done, he made $8 million or so, which in the 60s and early 70s, that was pretty good money for making a movie,
Absolutely.
Yeah. But how is it determined? Do you know, I asked my son this, how is it determined how much money, especially these days with so much demand on actors, what it's worth to get a big name to go into a movie or a TV show?
Well, it's like anything else. It's a negotiation at a table. It's like a baseball player's, agent signing a contract with a player. I mean, they ask for a certain amount. They see what in movies, they'll ask for a certain amount. The studio will come back with an offer, and they probably go back and forth, and they'll ultimately agree. But if it's a project that they want a certain actor to really be a play, they'll give them a big upfront and also a back end deal. So it's just simple, the demand of what both parties want.
Well, but a lot of people who have done movies are going into television, and they're getting big paychecks. I know John Hamm, who's been back and forth.
Yeah, because
isn't he best known for Mad Men first?
Absolutely. I mean, he's Mad Men. And then, you know, in terms of streaming, the streaming services, they're overpaying talent because they want to launch, solidify their subscribership. So they definitely have overpaid talent in the last few years, but good for the talent, if you can get that. And it's also
some of these guys,
which
right,
is really good,
are getting $500,000 an episode. And that's for some of the new stuff that's being done. Never mind. I mean, we know what they got for Friends when they were in some of these. And Charlie Sheen, he got like $1 million, didn't he, per episode? Something like that.
He did.
And so that's why movie people are coming over to TV. So much need. All right, Chucker. I think you did a good job, don't you? Do you think you did a good job today?
I did okay. Fair.
Okay, good. All right. We'll rate it. Ratings. That's what we're on.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.